We give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who knew no sin, but became sin unto death on a cross for us. We thank you for your holy presence here, Lord Jesus, among us. We thank you for the children that are going to be baptized today. We pray that they will grew up to be loving Christians and never to forget you, knowing that you will never leave them nor forsake them. God, we pray for each and every person here and those who are watching online, we pray. We pray for the church universal. God, have mercy upon us. Be with us this day and take hold of me, the preacher, and put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, God, be acceptable in your sight. For you are a refuge. You are our Redeemer. You are Savior. You are Lord. Amen. And I was thinking and smiling a little bit because I thought Ellen is upstairs, Helen. And I said, I am going to be condensing my sermon because we have communion and thing, and baptism. Only Methodists in these churches worry about that. They need to go to some of the other Methodist churches. But I thought about it. I says, Ellen isn't here. And so I'll have to tell her to time it when she goes home because we are busy today. But the word of the Lord is always important, right? And the reason why we are baptizing the children, it's because we believe in Jesus Christ, right? That's the reason why we're doing it, and we believe in God. It's the only reason why we're doing it, right? Because we're Christian believers, and we do something that is unique and different from every other religion. We baptize our children and adults and teenagers, whomever, because Jesus told us, that the Bible tells us, and certainly we have the doctrine of original sin. And so here we are today, and the first time picture just said, God dwells among us. He came to dwell among us. God is dwelling among us today. Scripture says we are two or more gathered together in his name. God is in the midst of us, right? So we can believe that God is in the midst of us. Not because we are perfect, not because we are good, but because God is good. And God is perfect and God is faithful. And God dwells among us. Amen? And so because we know God is here, we could then what? Receive whatever we desire or pray for from God if we truly believe. Because we have to be in a relationship with God. And that dove represents today the baptism of the children, right? They'll be baptized, and that dove represents the Holy Spirit, which is going to fill their hearts. They will not understand that, but the Holy Spirit will live in them until they come to understanding. And the Holy Spirit will never leave them, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Even those of us who are old and older, old like me, and older. Holy Spirit lives in us, amen? Amen? And never leaves. And so, my sermon title today is simple, Trust in God. Trust in God. Simple. And Jesus is going to tell his disciples that this slide says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And I think about it for the young family who's here raising all these little babies with young families. You're going to have to trust in God. Because these children are young, and even when we grow, we have to trust in God, but you're going to be needing to trust in God to raise your children. To trust in something bigger than you. Yesterday when I was coming down from Albany, I saw in the paper wherein those two little boys were coming from a game and got hit and died. And I said to myself, my God, how are these parents going to manage? How are they going to get through this? Two separate families. You know, we trust in God when we are grown, like us, but when we have children, it's another responsibility, right? We have sleepless nights. We worry about them, where they are, where they're going, what they're eating. And even when they're grown, they still pick up the phone and call. Even when they leave the house, you can't get rid of them. You don't want to get rid of them, but you know what I mean. You don't want to get rid of them. But you know, when they have troubles, they call home. And so we as parents, right, have to really trust in God, and we are trusting in God for them oftentimes. We are trusting even when they don't believe and they're, you know, they're not in church and they're not doing, we are trusting in God for them. So Jesus is telling his disciples, let not your heart be troubled, and I'm going to tell you why. Next slide. And I like this. Oh, I do have this. Right? And this one says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Making a statement, do not let you believe in God. And Jesus then says, believe also in me. Believe in God and believe also in Jesus. Now, why was Jesus saying these things to his disciples? Why? Jesus knew, we're in John 14, and Jesus knew what he had come for. He had come to die for the sins of the world. And so Jesus wanted, he knew that they were overwhelmed. And he was trying to calm troubled hearts with trust and hope in him. You see, Jesus had just told his disciples some things that was really overwhelming them. He had told them that what? That he was going to leave them. He had told them that they were going to be traitors. Somebody was going to betray him. And then one was going to deny him. And that he would leave them that night. They had been with him for 3 years. And he was the man, they believed, the Messiah, who had come, right, to take down Roman captivity. He was the one that their mothers and fathers and grandparents for generations had been praying for. The Messiah would come. He was the one who was healing the sick, feeding more than 5,000, raising the dead. He was the one. And then he tells them that night that he's leaving them. And so he knew that their hearts were going to be troubled. All of this would legitimately trouble the disciples. Yet Jesus told them, let not your heart be troubled. Can you imagine just being in deep pain, troubled, and you hear the voice of Jesus saying, let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. And you wonder, how is this going to happen, right? Now, oftentimes, we use this scripture in what? At funerals, right? We're telling those at the funerals, let not your heart be troubled because the person who is dead is going home to be with the Lord. But this scripture is also for the living. It is first for the living because we go through trouble. Anybody here has not gone through trouble? If you haven't gone through trouble, trouble will come. Right? There's a little song in the hymnal, in the faith we sing says, nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. Yeah, I was just looking at it now. It says, it's a short little thing. It says, nothing can trouble. Nothing can frighten. Those who see God shall never go wanting. God alone fills us, right? Because trouble comes. Sometimes you go to bed and you think all is well, and by the time you get up in the morning, you get one text, one call, and there is trouble. And then you're overwhelmed. So Jesus said to them, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. And believe also in me. So folks can't tell me that they believe in Jesus and don't believe in God. Right? There is some theological argument that people says, oh, I only believe in Jesus because Jesus is kinder, and the part of the Bible where Jesus is, you know, in the New Testament, it's much softer. Nothing happened, you know, it's nicer. Jesus doesn't say all the things that the Old Testament says, but guess what? Jesus is telling us, if you believe in me, you have to believe in God. Because I and the Father are what? One. Folks, you heard the scriptures read. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. There's no separating us. So if you trust in one, you got to trust in the other. Amen? Can't believe in Jesus and don't believe in the other. They're not Siamese twins that you could separate. And then he goes, he says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Right? You believe in God, also believe in me. Instead of giving into trouble, a troubled heart, Jesus told them to firmly put their trust in God and in Jesus himself. You believe in God, believe also in me. I do not know I would survive many things in life, and I've not had some terrible things that some people have had. But we have all have our sicknesses and our ups and downs. If I did not believe in Jesus and believe in God, I do not know how I would manage through this world. I don't know how other people do it, and good luck to them if it's working for them. But the only thing I know works for me is to believe in God. It's to call on God. I know these things are not popular, but I am not living for a popularity contest. I trust in God. And when Jesus told them this, this was a radical call to trust in Jesus, just as one would trust in God the Father. And a radical promise that doing so would bring comfort and peace to a troubled heart. Just trusting in God could bring comfort and peace to a troubled heart. Friends, have you ever had such a troubled heart? You heard a diagnosis that blows your mind. You can't believe it. You just heard it and you cannot fathom it. And all you got to do is call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. I'll tell you a simple story from a woman's standpoint. You know, all of you know we women have to go for mammograms. And every time I go, and you know, we have to sit and wait, you know, sit and wait. I'm always praying, sitting in that little room praying, Lord, please, let it be well. Every Lord, and if I see another woman there, I saw a woman sitting next to me and she was, her eyes, and I did, you know, I'm not being inquisitive, I didn't ask her anything, but I began to pray for her. Lord, whatever it is, take care of her. And then when they come back and you don't hear anything and they say they'll send it, and you think, sometimes I want to ask them, you saw nothing, did you? You saw nothing, trying to get the answer ahead of time. And the technician says, you know, the nurse will call you, the doctor will call you, but you're waiting. They're telling you you're waiting, right? And I said, can't you just tell me what you see on the picture? What you see on the thing, please, if you see nothing, nothing, right? And that's where my heart is troubled. My heart is troubled, right? And I have to stop myself and says, I am trusting in God. God, I'm trusting in you that whatever happens, you're going to bring me through whatever happens, right? And then when good news comes, thanks be to God, tears fill my eyes because good news has come, right? So trouble. So, you know, this kind of troubling of the heart comes to any one of us. And we have to remember these words of Jesus. Trust in God. Trust in him, because he'll bring us through. The song says, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord at all times. I will trust in the Lord. So Jesus is telling these men, he knows what they're going to face. Because later on in the text, they're going to face his crucifixion. And yes, they're going to betray him. And yes, they're going to deny him. Things are going to happen that's going to be bad. Yet you want to lead them with this word. No matter what is coming, guys, I know you're all not going to live up to my expectation, all of you. I know things are going to happen and you won't know it. I know some of you are going to run and hide from me. I know it all, but trust in God. No matter what happens. No matter what you're going through. And then Jesus says, here's the word, I'll come again to receive you to myself. Jesus says, no matter what happened, you're living now when I'm with you, but I'll come one day when it's your time to come home to be with me, I will come again and receive you. That's the hope of believers, right? That God will come, that Jesus will come and receive us when our time comes. That has given me so much hope. Every time I get a little worried, you know, he says, oh, when my time comes, Lord, let's just make it quick. Let me just go to bed and don't know. You know, I don't know if you all talk to God that way, but I do. I'm always talking to God. Sometimes I think God says, I got it, you know. I got you. Because I'm telling him yesterday, today, you know. And he's like, you know, I've got other people. You know. You know, I don't know if he says I'm nagging him. I don't think he uses that word. Because, Lord, he would call me a nag, right? Because I'd be talking to him all the time. Lord, did you hear me yesterday, Lord? And he said, no, you just said it a while ago. Right? Because I need him to know that I'm always connected to him. Right? And so, you know, this trusting, right? This waiting. He says, I'll come again to receive you to myself. When I buried my mother and my father, that was the hope I had. That Jesus came and received them to himself. That was the hope for me to come out of that, when it, you know, come out of my grief. And when I do funerals, I the same thing I do, so that that person who's there could come out of their grief. Because when Christians die, I believe that Jesus came and received them unto himself. Amen. And he says, that's where I am, you may be also. We're going to be where he is, Christian believers. Right? We're going to be where he is. So I just want to give you 6 points. I didn't write up anything on them, just, and then we will have to move on because we have a lot to do today. And here are my 6 reasons to trust God. Number one, God knows better than we do. God knows better than we do. If I believe that God is the creator of the universe, then certainly God knows better than I do. Amen? Knows much better than I do. My little peanut brain, even though I think it's pretty good, every now and then, and sometimes I do something so stupid, I says, it's not all that good. You know, yesterday I was at that meeting, and three of us were sitting at the table, and we're a little bit old, another pastor's a bit older than me, and we couldn't remember something. And I said to them, they just had just told us we were doing an exercise. I said, we just remember a day at a time now. We get to the age that we are happy to remember a day at a time. Did we remember what they said today? And then tomorrow we'll remember what they say tomorrow, right? Because we know we can't remember, because God knows, and we're trusting in God, because God knows better than we do. Second point, all things are possible with God. All things are possible. So when I pray for that family who has lost those two little boys, anyone, I said, God, if I did not believe that all things are possible with you, I would not believe how these families are going to come through this. But I believe that you could bring this family through. I don't know how, I don't know how long, but I am trusting them into your care, even though I don't know them. That you will be with them. Because all things are possible to you. We trust in God because God is worthy of our trust. God is worthy of our trust because, listen, God has taken care of us in the past. Ask your grandparents and your parents, young folks. Right? God has taken care of you through them. Give you food and shelter and place to live and pay tuition and take care of you. Oh, my Lord, God has taken care of us. Amen? Amen. Some of us had more material things than others. It didn't matter. Because when God gives you loving parents, parents will do anything for you. Loving parents. God knows what he's doing. Next point, well, God knows what he's doing. And point 5, God has always provided for us. Has anybody in here ever gone hungry? You don't have to ask me because you could see I haven't gone hungry. Has anybody here ever not have anything to eat? No place to live? Sometimes we want to get on God's back. You know, we want to tell God, listen, we can tell God how we feel, but that's not going to stop God from providing for us, because God is not spiteful. You know God is not spiteful, because if God was spiteful, sometimes when we get angry and we tell off God, we think we're telling off God, God would what? Wipe us out. But God knows where the pain is, and God listens, and God comforts. God is a faithful, loving God. And friends, as I close, God loves us deeply. And you know why I know God loves us deeply? Because he sent Jesus Christ for us. That when our time comes, Jesus will restore him to himself. To himself. Will bring us home. God loves us deeply. And the scripture that we all say is, for God so loved the world, that God would give his only begotten Son, right? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so Jesus ended the piece in saying, I go to prepare a place for you. For in my Father's house there are many mansions, there are many dwelling places. He's saying there's a room for all of us. There's a room for all of us. Right? And God is going to prepare a place for us. I did tell my Bible study that, you know, I'm divorced, and I say to God when I, you know, my ex-husband say, oh, when we get to heaven, we'll be back. We'll be back together. And I says, God would not do that to me. He has two different houses. As I close off, you know, he says to me every time, when we get to heaven, we'll be together again, Marge, we'll be together. And I says, God ain't going to do that to me. God doesn't want any fight and war in heaven. He wants peace. So, Christine, God is not doing that to us. Amen? I got a mansion over here, and he's going to have a mansion in the next state, wherever it is. Thanks be to God. Because God is loving. Amen? Okay, and so I think I just have a slide. As the psalmist says, Psalm 31, but I trust in you, Lord. I say you are my God. My final slide says, trust in the Lord. I'm looking up there and I could do it right here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. You'll never understand it. We'll never understand it. We'll never understand the ways of God. But trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So parents, young parents with these babies, trust in the Lord with all your heart, that God will help you through Jesus Christ to bring them up the way the Lord desires. Amen?